of your story? Who bears the burden of carrying the plot of your life forward to a good resolution? Is it the obvious answer? Me? No one else auditioned for the role, so here I am. Let me begin by telling you something that you already know. Being the main character leads to death. And it leads to a death that begins long before your expiration date. Being the main character of your story means death now. Death at work today in the voices of anxious self-evaluation. How's my story going? Am I studying hard enough? Am I earning enough money? Am I looking put together enough for an Easter Sunday? Am I parenting gently enough? And because all of those questions are ultimately unanswerable, they don't have objective yeses or nos, we start to evaluate ourselves in light of the people around us, to evaluate by comparison. We stop asking the broader questions and we start asking, am I studying harder than them? Am I earning enough money in my parents' eyes? Am I looking put together enough for the people in this church on Easter Sunday? Or maybe this doesn't apply to you and you've tipped all the way over away from self-evaluation into other evaluation. And so your questions are more, is he looking put together enough for me? Is she parenting gently enough for my tastes? If that's you, let me just pause and say on behalf of everyone in your life, thank you. We're all so appreciative of your calling to the ministry of evaluation and judgment of us. Either way, being the main character leads to death. It turns life into a contest of stories, a race that at any given moment you might feel that you're winning or that you're losing, but that has no medals, no celebration, that only has a stumble across the finish line and into the grave. Living as the main character leads to death. Here's the good news. You don't have to be the main character. You don't have to lug around the weight of making your life worth living any longer. You don't have to live unto death. You can instead be part of a story that leads through death. You can join a death and resurrection story, a story with not you, but Jesus as the main character. That's the good news Paul starts off proclaiming in Romans. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. In other words, Paul is saying Jesus is the main character of a through death and into resurrection story, a story we can join by being baptized. Being baptized, which wonderfully you'll get to see in action in a little bit, it's a ritual of allowing yourself to be taken under the water and then lift it back out. It's a ritual that dates back to Jesus' day, a day when people could not swim and saw the water as representing the forces of overwhelming chaos and darkness in the world. For them to go under the water meant death. It would be like for us to go out into space without a spacesuit. But then to be lifted back out of the water meant coming back from death, meant resurrection, meant somehow finding your way back into the shuttle and still breathing. Jesus began the public part of his story by being baptized, by allowing his cousin John to lower him down under the waters and then lift him back up. And in doing that, Jesus was proclaiming right at the beginning, my story is going to be different. It will involve death, but death will not end it. I'm going to try going into the grave, but the grave won't take. My story will be a death and resurrection story. And that's exactly the story that Jesus lived. He went willingly to his death on the cross, and his followers laid him under the earth in the tomb, and then he stood up and he walked out. Alleluia, Christ is risen. That was all right. And Jesus is risen, Paul says, to newness of life, the end of verse 4. Newness of life, it doesn't mean resuming the same sort of life as before death. This is not the moment in the medical drama where the heart monitor flatlines and then starts beeping again. Newness of life is not more of the same. It's a new and greater sort of life. It is like being born. You were alive before you were born. In the womb, you had everything that you needed to continue existing. But you were alone, confined in the dark. And then in being born, you emerged into a whole world of light, into the arms of love. That's the newness of life in Jesus' story. The life in Jesus' story is new like that, like being born. It's a life not of being evaluated, but of being loved. There's a moment in Jesus' story where he's tired and he sits down at a well and he meets a woman whose experience so far in life has taught her that she will be evaluated and then she will either be used or dismissed. Understandably, when she encounters Jesus, she's hesitant at first, but Jesus refuses to engage in any of the evaluations she's expecting. Jesus won't say to her, "You're a Samaritan and I'm a Jew." Jesus won't say to her, "You're a salacious sinner and I'm a righteous rabbi." Jesus won't even say to her, "You're a she and I'm a he." He ignores all of the evaluations that would have put distance between him and her. And he erases distance instead. He moves toward her in love and says to her, "I know all of the least lovely parts about you, and I don't care. I'm here to be with you." And she experiences real newness of life. She jumps up and she runs back into the village to find the neighbors that she's been avoiding for years and to tell them, "Come with me, come and see this man who knows all the worst things I've ever did and loves me." The life in Jesus' story is new like that. It's a life not of anxiety, but of security. There's another point in Jesus' story where some of his closest friends are caught in the middle of a sea and it's a storm. The waters of overwhelming chaos are tossing their boat to and fro as anxiety tosses their hearts. But Jesus comes to them, walking across the top of the water, and says, "Do not be afraid. I'm here now. You don't have anything to be anxious about." And his friends experience newness of life. One of them experiences such newness of life, Simon, that he actually steps out of the boat and joins Jesus on the top of the waves. It's Simon's experience of newness of life that we're going to sing about later in the service, when we sing, "The grace of God has reached for me and pulled me from the raging sea, and I am safe on this solid ground. The Lord is my salvation." The life in Jesus' story is new like that. Jesus is the main character in a story that does not lead to death, but leads through death into resurrection, into newness of life. And Jesus is the main character in a story you can join. Baptism, Paul says, is how you join the story of Jesus. Listen to that opening, verses 3 and 4, one more time. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." If you are tired of bearing the burden of your own story, if you are sick of all the anxieties and the evaluations, and you long to enter Jesus' story and share in his newness of life, Paul says baptism is your entry point. And he says baptism is a kind of death. But what kind? What sort of death are we talking about here? This is verses 10 and 11, toward the end of our passage. "For the death Jesus died, he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also, joining in, must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Jesus' kind of death is a death to sin. And what is sin? Sin is the distrust in God's love that compels us to be the main character. Sin is the whisper of doubt in your mind that says, you can't count on God to put you in a good story. You don't have any choice but to create your own story and bear your own burden. Jesus himself was tempted by this sin. Tempted to walk away from dying to sin and instead to live from sin, to live on his own terms rather than on God's. But Jesus said no. He chose to die to sin instead, to die once and for all. Jesus went willingly to the cross in order to join together with God in creating a story where it is sin that dies. Not just for him, but for all. For anyone who longs to join Jesus in his story. Jesus refuses to let sin get the last word in his life, and in his story, sin does not have to get the last word in your life either. Baptism is a joining in Jesus' death. It's a no to sin and a yes to God's love in Christ Jesus. Baptism says, I am tired of this burden and I am putting it down. I don't need to evaluate myself or anyone else anymore. I want to walk in newness of life. And that can be your story. That can be all of our story. We can all join in the death and resurrection story, the no to sin and the yes to God story of Jesus. And we can walk in newness of life. Walk in newness of life. There's a picture. Really, it's a picture for all of life. Walking is something that we never outgrow or transcend, no matter how long we live. We might lose the ability to walk as our bodies decay, but we never lose the need to walk. And walking in Scripture is a metaphor for the life of peace, for life as it's meant to be, for a life with purpose, but without anxiety. But to walk is to move with purpose, to have somewhere to go. You're not adrift or listless or slumped on the couch and scrolling. There's a reason to your living. But it's to move through life also without pressure, right? If you're under pressure, if you're anxious, you don't walk anywhere, you run or you ride. Or in our age, you drive or fly or Zoom. You got to go. You got to get to a destination. Walking's not that. Walking is life with purpose and movement, but without the pressure to get far enough, without the anxiety driving you to arrive at this or that destination. Walking through newness of life is living every day in a good story where you no longer have the burden of being the main character, but you do have the joy of being a beloved character. Walk in newness of life. There's a picture, not just for the whole of life, but for the beginning of life. This year, this calendar year so far, I've been watching little Ellis, who's very near the beginning of her life. She just turned one this week. And it's been for months now that she's been on the verge of walking in newness of life. She's got this like ritual since January or February where she's been crawling, and then she kind of gets up in the bear position and she rises up. She's got this really solid stance and this look of delight and terror on her face, and she just stays put. And her, you can see it on her face, what's going through her mind. Like, oh, I would love to walk. That would be so sweet. But what if I fall? What if I don't get over there? What if I don't do it right? I'll just stay put. What Ellis doesn't realize is that she is not on her own in learning to walk in newness of life. She's not the main character in this story. Everywhere that Ellis goes, she has with her a mom and a dad who love her. And when she comes here, about 36 other people who compete to love her best and most and for longest. She is surrounded in this large story of love. And anywhere she goes, there are people who love her who she can count on to pick her up when she falls, to hold her hands as she wobbles. I swear I didn't tell my son Braxton to spend the 10 minutes before church holding Ellis's hands and wobbling up and down the middle of the sanctuary, but that's exactly what they did. She's not alone in this. Everywhere Ellis goes, she has with her parents who will never respond to her stumbles by rolling their eyes at her or turning their back. She doesn't bear the burden of being the main character. She has the joy of being a beloved character in this larger story. In God's eyes, anyone who turns to Jesus is Ellis. I mean, you're Ellis in that on your own as the main character of your story, you have about as much chance as Ellis would have her on her own out in the world. But in Jesus, in turning to Jesus, you are Ellis, and God is your Father who is with you always and who loves you far better even then Elijah and Haley love Ellis. As a beloved character in Jesus' story, you're free to stumble and wobble your way through walking in newness of life because the story doesn't depend on you. It depends on him, and he already died to sin for all. It's done. You don't have to go anywhere in particular. You don't have to arrive anywhere in particular because Jesus has already gone from heaven to earth and arrived next to you. And he holds out his nail-pierced hands and calls you by name. Come to me. Join my story. Take a step, free in the knowledge that I love you, that I will catch you after every fall. Even if you fall into death, I will catch you, and I will lift you back up to newness of life. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this story. This old story of newness of life, this story that Linda read for us, this story that has been living in our midst. Bring it to life in us today, Lord. Draw us to yourself. Help us to lay down the unbearable burden of living as the main character and learn to walk as beloved characters in your good story instead. In the name of Jesus, who made all of it possible and who finished it, amen. Would you please stand and let's sing of our living hope.